Thanks. So instead of writing that out all the time, we'll abbreviate it as HUP. Okay, so the first thing is we'll consider, okay, we've got our particle in our box here between these two endpoints here, between 0 and L. And let's suppose that our particle is in this state over here, okay, the lowest energy state, this is the ground state or the state or the 0 point state. Okay, so what we know is its probability pattern or probability distribution looks like that. Okay, so let's put that in. Looks like that. So this is P0 here. So it tells us that, you know, we don't actually know where the particle is at any given time, but if we look, it's likely to be found near the middle of the box and not near the ends. Okay? What is in this state, what is the wavelength of the particle? How is it related? What is L? How is L related to the wavelength? Yeah, so L is equal to lambda over 2. Okay, and you can see that from here. We're in this state over here. This is the standing wave. This is 0 to L. Okay, so this is half a wave because a full wave is like that. This is a full sine wave. Okay, so one wavelength is this, so that's half a wavelength. So the size of the box in this state corresponds to half a wavelength. Okay. So now the next question we ask is, what is the uncertainty in the position of that particle? What is our uncertainty in the position? So let me just clarify here. The symbol delta, as used in most places in physics and mathematics, delta means change in. So when you say delta x, you mean change in position. In quantum mechanics, the symbol delta means uncertainty in. So let's just write uncertainty. There are only a finite number of symbols in the Greek alphabet, so sometimes they get used for two different things. Okay, so uncertainty in the position. What would you say is the uncertainty in the position? Like, we know it's in the box somewhere. We know for sure it's not outside the box. It's somewhere in the box, but we don't know where. So how uncertain are we of its position? How is that related to the size of the box? Yeah.
Isn't it related more so to the probability curve than to the size of the box? Because, like, we know it's in the box, but until we measure exactly where in the box it is, we have to use the probability curve to, like, determine the probable places it could be. So it doesn't
yeah.
have to determine
okay, that. But in any one of these probability curves, say we're dealing with this one, or this one, basically, it's basically evenly spread throughout the box, right? I mean, besides these zeros, like if we go up to many, many, like a very, very high state, you know, looks like this. It's basically evenly spread throughout that box. So we have no idea where it is, right? I mean, if we take a measurement, we have no idea in advance where we're going to find it. It could be found over there. 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 So we are completely uncertain. In any of these states, we are completely uncertain of where it is inside the box, of where exactly it is. We do know it's not outside the box. So what's our uncertainty? Yeah. Yes. It does. It does. Yeah, so that's a good point. So here's our box, and we're in any one of these states here, say the number one state, E1. And so what this thing tells us, it's likely to be found here or here and so on and so forth, but we know for sure it's not outside. So the curve actually extends outside the box, but it's zero outside the box. It actually looks like that. Yeah.
Is there any chance of it going right?
There's no chance of it being found at any exact position, right? So what you can do is you can say, so here's our probability curve like this. And the probability that it's found at exactly that location when I look in the box is zero, So what you need to do is you need to actually consider a small range. Call this what should we call this? Delta x, a different kind of delta. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but we're talking about beforehand. So beforehand, what is the probability of finding it at any exact location is zero. So what you can do, so what these P curves actually mean is this. If I take P, say we're taking P1, so this is P0, this is P0 here. If I take P0 and evaluate it at that location, okay, and I multiply by delta x, by that small width here, that's the probability I would find it in that small width. Right? Wow. Because the probability I will find it at any given, like at one single point.
Is it like approximately zero or exactly?
It's exactly zero. The probability of finding it at exactly one, at exactly that point, is zero.
Does it have to find it?
Before you look. So it's a probability, yeah, the word is a probability density. Okay, so but that may not be very helpful. So let me say it this way. So if you introducing some unknown terminology doesn't always help. So what it means in terms of, I guess maybe I could just introduce a calculus concept here. Stefan had mentioned this a little bit, integration. Integration is the area under the curve. So basically, these curves are such that that the area under the curve is equal to 1. Okay, so the probability of finding it somewhere in the box is 100%. And that number, 100%, that number 1 comes from the area under the curve. Okay, so the probability of finding it in this little range over here is the area under the curve, is the area of that little rectangle. So the probability of finding it, say, in the right half of the box is the area under here, which is 50%, a half. So the probability of finding it somewhere in the right half is 50%. The probability of finding it, say, in this little region over here is the area under the curve here, which might be 10%. Okay, so the probability of finding it, say, within this range over here is the area of that little rectangle. And as you shrink that rectangle to zero, the probability of finding it at any exact location is zero. You need to be, your detector has finite width. When you stick a detector in there, the detector does not detect particles at an exact location. It has some width, some physical size.
The particle itself is at an exact
location. No. See, that's one of the things. We don't know actually what the particle is doing in there.
So because we can't have an infinitely accurate detector, there's no probability of having it.
No, okay. Supposedly in principle we could have an infinitely accurate detector. Then we would stick that infinitely accurate detector which detects the probability that the particle is in that super tiny little range. And it's just it's almost zero. Yeah, so it could detect the particle, whether it's at an exact location. That's right. So it can detect a particle at an exact location. It's a very, very tiny detector like this. But the probability that when you find it, see, I mean, suppose that instead of a probability curve like this, we have a probability curve like this. It's equally likely to be found anywhere in the box. Okay? The probability that it's exactly at that or in a super, super narrow range like that is basically the width of this divided by the total width.
Yeah, no, I hear you saying that wrong, but I don't want to.
Okay. Yeah.
Of B1,
yeah.
Was so light. So exactly in the middle, when it's like near zero, is it exactly zero or just near zero?
So this curve does go to zero right at that location.
So there is no chance of finding any particle in this point, right?
Yeah. So using his like infinitely accurate particle detector, if you stuck it at that point, you would never find the particle there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But any realistic detector would have some finite width. And it's the area under that little curve, which is a small thing. It's maybe a 1% chance that you would find it in an area, in a region of that width. Yeah.
But the reason why it is exactly zero, as opposed to find an exact point, is that we have an infinite number of points. And then we have the probability for every of these points, then it's zero.
Wouldn't it be just an infinitesimal or whatever?
Yeah, so
it could be 1 divided by infinite, right? Which isn't exactly 0. It's just only like approximately 0.
Yeah.
So the probability of finding it at any point tends to 0.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's say it that way. Are we happy with that? Okay. Right, okay. So basically, getting back to our uncertainty in the position over here, how uncertain are we when it's in this state? How uncertain are we of its position? Thank you, L. Okay, so basically, we know that if we look in the box, we know that the particle will be found here, plus or minus basically half the size of the box. Okay, so it's like when you make a measurement in physics and you say, well, you know, what is the length of this thing? Well, you stick a ruler up against it and you say the length is, you know, 5.2 plus or minus 0.1 meters. Okay, so our uncertainty is basically when we stick the meter stick against and how, you know, and compare it with the gradations and so on and so forth, how uncertain are we? Okay, it could be anywhere between 5 point, what does that mean? It means it could be anywhere between 5.1 and 5.3. Okay, we're not sure exactly. We're not sure exactly of the width. It could be anywhere between 5.1 and 5.3. So our uncertainty is 0.1 meters. Same thing here. If we look in the box, we would say, well, the particle, we will find the particle here plus or minus this. So it could be basically anywhere inside the box. So our uncertainty is basically this, which is half of the width of the box. The width of the box is lambda over 2, so that's lambda over 4. Okay, so we are uncertain of its position. And the uncertainty of the position is basically the size of the box, or half the size of the box. Okay, so all right, so let's, so this is looking at the particle in terms of its position. Let's look at the particle in terms of its momentum. Okay, so if this is zero in momentum, what momentum does the particle have in that state? Yeah, so it's plus or minus p. So p was h over lambda, the magnitude of p. So the momentum of the particle is basically, let me turn all the way here. The momentum of the particle is basically lambda over h and negative lambda over h. Okay, so remember, in this picture here, what we know is that the particle is in some kind of a weird indefinite state in which it is simultaneous. It possesses a momentum plus p and minus p simultaneously. Okay, so if we were to actually measure, we would find either plus p or minus p. But before we measure, we don't know what it's going to be. It's in basically both states. Okay, and so our uncertainty. So we would describe. If we describe this measurement, we would say the measurement result will be 0 plus or minus lambda over h. So our uncertainty in momentum, it could be either this or this, is uncertainty momentum is just lambda divided by h. Okay. Are we reasonably okay with that? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote down the wrong. Okay.
No,
thank you.
So I'm dyslexic in a different kind of way, the up-down way. Okay. Oh, okay. It's all wrong in the graph. Oh, see, that's where I went wrong. Okay. Thank you. Gotcha. Okay. So. So let's ask a question here. Let's just for the fun of it, let's take the product of these two. What is the product of delta x and delta p? H over 4. So delta x is lambda over 4. We're multiplying by h over lambda. And so we notice that something interesting happens. The wavelength cancels out, and we get just a number, h over 4, which is independent of the wavelength. Okay, so that's an important relationship, and we will see more of this just in a second. Okay? So now let's ask another question. Let's start with this setup over here, but let's squeeze the box. Let's try to make the box smaller. We will keep it in the ground state. We'll keep it in the lowest energy state here, but we will squeeze the box. Okay, so we squeeze inwards like this, and so our box is now smaller. It's like this. Okay, but it's still in the ground state. So the probability curve looks like that. It's still P0. What is L in this case? How is it related to lambda, the wavelength? It's still lambda over 2. Okay? So our uncertainty in the position, we would say, okay, it could be found anywhere in the box when I look. So before I look, I don't know where it is. So I would say that the particle is here plus or minus half of the width of the box, so plus or minus lambda over 4. Okay, so the uncertainty in the position, same expression, is still lambda over 4. Okay, what about the momentum picture? Here's P and here's 0. We know that the momentum of the particle in this state, the magnitude of the momentum is h over lambda. So the momentum could either be plus h over lambda or minus h over lambda. Okay? Now, because we've squeezed the box like this, we've made the box smaller. What has happened to lambda? This is smaller. So lambda is smaller. So h divided by lambda is what? Bigger. Okay, so in that picture there, we had the two here, but now they get spread out. Okay, now this is plus h over lambda, and this is minus h over lambda. Okay, so our uncertainty in the position, in the momentum, what's our uncertainty momentum? Same thing. It's still h over lambda. We would say, you know, one measurement might yield this, plus one measurement might yield that, but in advance we don't know which one, so we're uncertain. It's in this indefinite state in which both are present simultaneously. So we say uncertain momentum is still this, but it's larger now because lambda is smaller. Okay, so what's important here is by squeezing the box, we have made our uncertainty in the position, which is still given by lambda over 4, smaller because the wavelength is now smaller. Okay. Corresponding to that, the uncertainty momentum has increased. Okay. So basically what's happening here is what I mentioned before, particles are claustrophobic. Okay. So basically if they're in a big box, this zero point motion, whatever that is not very vigorous. If we make the box smaller and so pin down the location, we know for sure now it's in a smaller space. We know the particle is now in that box, but the box is smaller, so we've pinned down its location. We're more certain of its position. Then the particle freaks out and says, I don't like you to be certain of my position. And so it freaks out, and it has this huge uncertainty momentum. Okay? The vigorousness of that zero-point motion becomes greater. Okay, so this is claustrophobic. Okay, so, but I want you to notice something. Even though delta x is smaller and delta p is larger, what is the product of delta x and delta p? So delta x and delta p is still the same. Okay, so what we notice is that there seems to be this universal relationship between uncertainty in position and uncertainty in momentum. If we make delta x smaller, if we become more certain of the position of the particle, so this guy goes down, then correspondingly the uncertainty in momentum goes up, and vice versa, such that the product of the two always remains the same. Okay, so that's important. And now let's talk about one last thing here. Let's give one more example. Suppose we're not in the ground state. Suppose we're in an excited state. Okay, one of the higher energy states. In fact, let's take the state E3. Okay, so that means we're dealing with the probability pattern P3. So we know that P0 has one lump in it. P1 has two lumps. How many lumps does P3 have?
Four lumps.
Four lumps.
Excellent. Okay. One, two, three, four. Okay, so that's P3. Okay, so again, our delta x now. So So this is L and this is 0. What is L in terms of the wavelength? How many wavelengths are now inside the box? 2, right? Because we basically squared this sine wave and this sine wave to get these 4 lumps. So we've got 2. L is 2 lambda. So our uncertainty in the position is now what? Lambda. Okay, so the particle could be anywhere in that box. It could be there plus or minus half of the width of the box, which is lambda. Okay, and similarly, delta p, the momentum is always just h divided by the wavelength, the magnitude of the momentum. So our uncertainty momentum, it could be either plus this or minus this. So delta p is h over lambda, as before. Okay, what is the product now? The lambdas cancel out when we take the product, and we get just h. Okay, so in the ground state, we got that the product was h over 4. In an excited state here, we got a bigger number, h. A quarter h went to a full h. Okay? So in general, the relationship is this. The product of delta x and delta p is greater than or equal to h over 4. Okay? And if you do the math properly, if you do Schrodinger's equation and properly define these uncertainties and so on and so forth, there's a factor of pi that appears. Okay. So actually, when Heisenberg first wrote this down, this relationship, he just said that it's some number related to h, proportional to h, some number of that order of magnitude. Okay. So that's that. So let's try to make some sense of this relationship. This relationship is very similar to this. So this is called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, and this is called the de Broglie relation. Okay, so you'll notice that they're very similar. Here's a length, here's a length, here's a momentum, and there's an h. So in fact, what we did is we derived this from this, sort of. Okay, up to that factor of pi there, okay, which doesn't really matter. Okay, so let's think about what this Heisenberg uncertainty principle is telling us. This is truly remarkable. So remember, the idea here is we are going to get another way to understand the weirdness of our quantum world. Okay, so there are different interpretations of this relationship. Okay, quantum mechanics is mathematically, the mathematics is fairly simple. You know, once you learn how to take derivatives and so on, you've got the Schrodinger equation, and the math is pretty simple. And everyone agrees on the math and all that stuff. But what is actually happening, what that mathematics is telling us about the nature of the universe, well, that's a wide open question. Okay, we have, like, people in this institute who have devoted their lives to trying to answer that question, to trying to wrap their minds around that question. And those are people working in an area called the foundations of quantum theory. Okay, so there are different interpretations of this relationship, what it's trying to tell us about the nature of our universe. And you're going to have a keynote talk in a few days now from a guy called Joost Oefink, and he's an expert on interpretations of this. So I think you're going to have a lot of fun. So I'm going to give you a simple interpretation of this, which I would call the strong interpretation of the high.